Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Katie F., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, September 30th, 2015. Today we are reading from the Big Book, the foreword, and we are at page XVII, paragraph 2. Today's readers are Charles H., Renata G., and Terry H. The reference number for Tuesday, September 29th, is 8031. That's 8031. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jody E. to read the 12 steps.
Thank you so much. Good morning. This is Jody E. in California, recovering from bulimia. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Jody. I will now ask Rachel N.M. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Rachel N.M. I'm a thankful, recovered, compulsive eater and anorexic. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I pass.
Thank you, Rachel. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page XVII, paragraph 2. I will ask Charles H. to begin reading. He will read two paragraphs, and we will focus our comments on the second paragraph. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you, Amy. Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm Katie. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Katie. I mean, you know, morning.
Yeah.
Charles is a recovered visionary just for today. Thank you for the service. Thank you, God, for waking me up. A second small group promptly took shape at New York to be followed in 1937 with the start of a third at Cleveland. Besides these, there were scattered alcoholics who had picked up the basic idea in Akron or New York who were trying to form groups in other cities. By late 1937, the number of members having substantial sobriety time behind them was sufficient to convince the membership that a new light had entered the dark world of the alcoholic. It was now time, the struggling group thought, to place their message and unique experience before the world. This determination bore fruit in the spring of 1939 by the publication of this volume. The membership had then reached about 100 men and women. The fledgling society, which had been nameless, now began to be called Alcoholics Anonymous. From the title of its own book, the Flying Blind period ended and AA entered a new phase of its pioneering time. My name is Charles H. I'm a recovered visionary just for today. I wanna drill down here where it says it was now time the struggling group thought to place their message and unique experience before the world. This determination bore fruit. So I asked myself this question. I'm not even gonna ask y'all because I'm enough. I need to, you know, am I willing to bear fruit today? Not saying that. Am I willing to plant seeds? Because you know what? I can't control whether food is going to be bored from a tree, but am I willing to plant the seeds every day? Now, if I plant the seed, you know, God takes care of, you know, the watering, the weather situation, whether that tree turns into a tree of thorns or a tree that bears fruit. But I need to be willing, right, every day to till the soil. I need to be willing to put it, you know, I need to be willing to carry my experience, strength, and hope. Not my opinion. You know, I need to be willing to carry the message that's in this book, the solution, the prescription, there is a solution. Not Charles' solution. I don't got no solution. My solution, you know, I'm in Dunkin' Donuts talking to y'all, and I have my breakfast already. That's a miracle. That's my experience today. It wasn't like that yesterday. When I say yesterday, I mean before program. So the question I'm going to pose to you guys and myself, am I willing to continue to bear fruit or plant seeds? Am I willing to plant seeds, Charles H.? And I say yes to that. And with that, I pass. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Charles. Who would like to comment this morning on this second paragraph?
Reva P.
This is Larry.
Okay.
Yes,
Larry,
sir, I.
Okay. Anyone else?
Julie R.
Okay. Reva P., Larry K., Nessa R., and Julie R. Thank you. Go ahead, please. Reva.
Good morning. This is Reva P., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto. What struck me this morning is about their message and unique experience. You know, yesterday was a day where I was personally struggling emotionally. But there is a message, and the message is the 12 steps. So thank you, God. You know, I did my step work yesterday, and unique experience reminds me, I had a lot of professional input before I came to program, and it never clicked because those people never had that experience. And this paragraph also reminds me the unique experience is not just knowing what my problem is, the twofold nature of my illness, but the unique experience is experiencing working through the steps and recovering and being in a solution. And I'm just so grateful that there is a clear message of how to do this, and it's based on experience and one compulsive overeater sharing with another, because the people I shared with yesterday, it would never, ever be the same talking to a professional, although sometimes outside help is appropriate. So I'm just so grateful. You know, it was now time. It's time, which also reminds me that we need to keep carrying the message. It's time to give it away. Once we get the message and we have the experience, we keep it by carrying it to others. And I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Reva. And Larry K., you're up.
Thank you. Larry K., recovered compulsive overeater. You know, I'll speak about the flying blind period had ended. You know, these people were recovering. And you know, it reminds me that, you know, information is you know, it's certainly empowering. It's extraordinarily life-changing, you know, and this was the case for me. But, you know, it's nothing if we remain unwilling to act upon it. You know, if I come to this meeting every morning and I'm right on time, you know, 6 a.m. Central, you know, and I, you know, I just come here to, you know, to listen to, you know, to wait to get inspired. Yes, I might get inspired, but if I don't act upon this information, and I didn't for a long time in going to meetings years ago, first 5 years of program, I didn't act upon it. But I'll be forever grateful that some of these early pioneers were inclined to do what? They took these actions, these suggestions. They had an experience. They had a fundamental change in their lives. And then they carried the message to others. You know, sometimes I've wondered, you know, why is a meeting like this one, you know, so attractive to people like us? And I think why it is because there are people, you know, you can hear, I hear in your voices, I hear recovery. And that's what's attractive to me. And so, you know, when I come here, I don't come anymore to get inspired to get out of the food. You know, thank God. I come here now, you know, to carry a message and to be a part of a beautiful fellowship, and to stay on the beam of recovery. Absolutely, but it's not a struggle anymore. And that's only because I'm nothing special. I'm really not. I'm nothing special. What I am is just another person that became willing to take the actions, the suggestions, just like these early pioneers, and something happened to me. And I changed. And I continue to change for the better. And now, you know, it's my obligation to carry the message to other people. And whether they, you know, whether they take it or not, I stay on the beam of recovery, and I'm, you know, we're loving, we're here, you know, but willingness is an inside job, just as it was for the pioneers in the 1930s and 40s and 50s, and here we are now. You know, we have to take, no one will take the action for you. Anyways, I am so grateful for Alcoholics Anonymous. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Larry. And Nessa R., your turn.
Hi, good morning. This is Nessa R., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. I also would like to share on the concept of unique experience, because as addicts, we have the unique experience that only addicts have, and therefore we can understand each other and our struggles. But as recovered compulsive overeaters, we have a unique experience that unfortunately not every addict has, which is that of recovery. And I've shared before, I think probably the key message in the forewords, all of the forewords, is that this program of recovery outlined in this book works. And that's why the program has, the method, the book has grown and expanded so quickly all over the place, all over the world, so many languages. And I was talking to a dear friend in program recently, and she says, you know, yeah, Nessa, but you always share how you struggled for 9 years in the rooms. So what kind of message are you delivering? I mean, does this work or does this not work? And, you know, does a newcomer that comes in and hears this, do they think, oh, do I have to struggle for 9 years before I get it? And, you know, and the answer to that is a categorical no. You can get it right away. The reason I struggled for 9 years is because I had no access to this unique experience of recovery as outlined in the big book. I didn't even go near the instructions in the big book. But anybody who comes in today and willingly embraces the unique experience of recovery, the unique experience of recovery outlined in the big book, and follows its instructions precisely, can and will recover without having to struggle 1 minute longer. All that is required is pick up this book, get a guide, and follow the directions, and there is no need to struggle anymore, because what's in this book really, really works. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nessa. And Julie R., you're up.
Hi, thank you, Katie. This is Julie R., recovered compulsive over here in California. I want to focus on the same two words a lot of people already have, is place their message and unique experience before the world. You know, I mean, for me, what is the message? You know, it was that message of hope that I didn't have to live like that anymore. I didn't have to weigh 300 pounds. I didn't have to be consumed with food. I didn't have to be dishonest, be manipulative. And the unique experience, well, that's that spiritual experience, that awakening that we get to see in people and hear, you know, not just a dry drunk, not just somebody who's lost weight and thin and abstinent, but crazy. It's that unique experience of being recovered, having that solution. And those two things mean the world to me, because I could have gotten a food plan. I could have went on a diet 100 more times than I already have. But to see people that are walking their talk, not only being at a healthy body weight, but living sanely, and that's what their message was and their unique experience. You know, they cleaned up their past. I mean, these were low-bottom drunks who had a lot of cleanup to do, and they did, and they were productive, and, you know, members of society, et cetera. And that's what that hope, that message is. It's hope. What can I do to that next suffering compulsive overeater? Yeah, sure, show them the weight loss, but show them how I reunited with my husband, how I'm not this person that I used to be, that I'm caring and giving. That is the hope. That is the message. So I am so glad to be here and be part of Overeaters Anonymous because, yeah, it saved my life. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Julie. And who else would like to share on this?
Rick
Jill
K.
Jill T.
Vasa O.
Okay, I have Rick K.
Tom M.
I think it's Tom M. at the end here. Okay. I have Rick K., Jill T., Vasa O., Lois M., Bella G., and Tom M. We'll go with
Melissa C. She didn't get me. Hi.
Okay, and Melissa C.
Okay.
Okay, that's, thank you. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Rick K.
Hi, this
we can't hear you, Rick. Can we go on to Jill T and we'll come back to Rick if he resurfaces?
Sure. Good morning, everyone. This is Jill T from Pittsburgh.
Thank
you. As Charles was speaking, what I heard for myself is that right now I'm very new to program, to this program, the Big Book, but my weight loss is beginning to show and people are beginning to ask, what are you doing? I'm getting a little nervous. One woman, I did tell her, I said, I'm working with a spiritual coach who is helping me see that my higher power needs to be in charge of my eating. But also the idea, and so I've been real nervous, what do I tell people? And then it dawned on me, I'm carrying a product. I am the product, if you will, of a higher power doing his work here on earth through me. And so I like that it was able to help me see and clarify that I don't have to tell them about me. I just have to tell them about my higher power. In a way that is palatable, but not completely palatable. Because if I water anything down to make it easier for them to hear, then they're going to lose the message and I'm not bringing it full strength and full force like I know I needed it. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And do we have
Rick is here.
Back? Okay,
yeah,
sure. Thank you. We couldn't hear you.
Yeah, I apologize. I muted myself inadvertently.
Okay.
So this is great. This is Rick K., a compulsive overeater from Miami, calling in. And I love this stuff. And I was thinking about really the same line that a lot of people have been reviewing about carrying the unique experience and message through this book. And really, it's just incredible because it was their experience up to that point. And I think the main point of the experience was that people with this disease can relate to each other identify with each other as opposed to being told what the problem is by some other people. For instance, Bill Wilson took off to the Bowery to try to do 12-step work. And he was essentially evangelizing that he had a solution, and it wasn't working. And he spoke to Dr. Silkworth about it, and Silkworth said, well, why don't you talk about the solution? Why don't you talk about the medical aspect? Why don't you talk about, your own experience as opposed to telling people how to do it? Before that time, the story is that, the bums would scatter as soon as they saw him coming because here we go again. This guy's going to tell us what the deal is. So they developed that experience instead of evangelizing, instead of directing people what they had to do, share our experience, strength, and hope. Share the solution. Share how it's worked for us. Share the medical aspect of it. Share Dr. Silkworth's stuff. And that's really just a beautiful thing. I love it, and it just amazes me that really over a period of a few short years, they could come up with this book, and really which was written by Bill Wilson and reviewed by others, and have it till today so exacting and so incredible and so divinely inspired. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Rick. And Vasa O, you're up.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm Vasa O, recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Massachusetts. And the membership had been reached about 100 men and women. And I remember hearing the good news, finally. How did these people reach? How did they do it? So, again, after struggling with the food addiction for many, many years, and coming in, this was my last hope. I had lost hope. I was hopeless. I couldn't do it anymore. And this was my last hope, you know, coming to Overeaters Anonymous and the big book, you know. And just to hear the identifying with the allergy, following the mental obsession with the food, it was just, I don't know, really excited, but I was also grieving. Oh, my God, you know, I'm not going to have certain foods. I mean, they had to be out of my body forever. How am I going to do this? How am I going to survive this for the rest of my life? And I heard, no, this is only one day at a time, one meal at a time. And then, you know, it has been years and years, you know, but that was the beginning, just putting the food down. And if I did not continue coming and, you know, doing, you know, the big book, the 12 steps, you know, that was my goal. I was just going to lose my weight, and I was just going to leave happy and joyful. And thank you, God, I stayed in the program, and I listened, and I worked the steps the way they were laid out. Because, I remember going on my diet. I would lose the weight for a while, and I'd be happy, but I always felt, oh, now I can deserve. I deserve to have one of these things, you know, and that get me into a big, huge relapse. And the solution is really here. If I work the steps the way they're laid out and give it away, that's the key. Give it away to others that are still suffering. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Lisa. And now we have Lois M., followed by Bella G.
Katie, that was not me in the lineup. Thank you anyway.
Okay, maybe that was Melissa C., but we'll just go ahead with Bella G., then Tom M., and Melissa C. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. My name is Bella G., and I am a thankful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Katie, for doing this service, and thank you very much, everybody on the line, to place their message and unique experience. Wow, it's such a wonderful, powerful sentence. Yes, what is the message? The message is that it's a we program. It's we are here all together. It's not a program of a teacher-student basis relationship. It's not like a doctor, therapist, and patient relationship. It's a we program. We are all the same. We are all human. Yes, and we are all with character defects. We are not perfect. We are all the same, that we can teach and learn at the same time. Yes, we can teach and learn from our unique experience. Yes, we are all the same, but we have our own special personality, and we can learn and teach from our unique experience because we are not perfect. Yes, we are not perfect, and I am limited. I don't know everything all the time. And I can learn from your experience, and I can give you ideas from my own experience. It's a we program. I don't have to be isolated anymore. And I don't want to please nobody. I am not a people pleaser anymore. Today I accept myself that, yes, I am human. I am not perfect. And today I can share my experience and I can share my recovery because today I am connected to a loving and acceptance power. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Bella. And now we will have Tom M.
Yes, good morning. This is Tom M. from New Jersey, and I'm a grateful recovered sugarholic. And as I read this here, it talks about the they thought to place their message and unique experience before the world. Yesterday, I had an experience where one of my face-to-face OA members came to my office, and she was like really distressed, and she was concerned about all the challenges that are going on in the world, and I could tell that she was just really, really out of it. And thank God she was, you know, God led her to come to the office, and we talked, and I was able to share with her some reading on page 87. We talked about going through the day, we pause when we get agitated, you know, doubtful, and we ask for the right thought or action. And then we remind ourselves that we're no longer running the show. And just at that point, you know, really humbly start saying to ourselves, "Thy will be done." And, you know, if not, then we wind up burning up a lot of energy foolishly. And so I know for me, prior to coming to Vision for You, I would have never been able to share that kind of information with someone. And it's just a blessing to be able to have a spiritual solution and a message that you can share with someone that would actually uplift that person. And, you know, I'm grateful also that we are kind of put it out there about 5-6 months ago that I wanted to come up with a OA face-to-face group in my town where I practice. And Monday night coming up, October the 5th, we'll be actually having our first OA face-to-face big book study. And it's just been a blessing to be able to share this message with so many other people, you know, telling other people about coming on to the Vision for You and really just helping to save lives through the message of the big book. So I'm just really grateful for having this this message, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Tom. And Melissa C., you're up.
Hi, good morning. This is Melissa C., a recovered compulsive overeater in New York. And, you know, carry the message through my unique experience. And, you know, so I'm thinking, well, first of all, what is my message? My message is that there's hope, that there's recovery. And, you know, and I smile when I think about the unique experience because, you know, my uniqueness was my isolation. You know, I thought I was so different. And so I would think about my experience, my unique experience as, you know, as poor me. And the message that I once had was, cut me a break, cut me some slack, I should have my way, poor me. You know, you don't know what I went through. And what a complete turnaround the steps have done for me. You know, now with acceptance, you know, and a mature vision of my higher power, you know, my experience are, they're the most beautiful thing I have. You know, even the ugly things, even the loss, even the pain, humiliation, all of it. Why? Because now I have something of use. You know, it all makes sense. And you know, I love, and it makes me think about, you know, where we won't regret the past or wish to shut the door on it. That's my unique experience. My unique experience is nothing to be ashamed of. It's what makes me useful to another person. And so, you know, what draws me in always to the fellowship is when somebody is sharing their unique story and undoubtedly it sounds just like mine. And, you know, and there's always a chuckle, you know, from me or in the room when I hear someone tell, you know, something that's so bleak and so awful, and yet I did it too, or yet I've been there too. And, you know, it just all seems to make perfect sense. So I can't look back at anything. I can't say, oh, I wish I had gotten this sooner. Why didn't I get the message sooner? I didn't. You know, that's my message. I didn't. I went through everything I went through so that I can be of better use to other people. And thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much. And I am now going to ask Renata G. to move on to the next paragraph.
Thank you, Katie, for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Renata G., recovered compulsive overeater in New York. With the appearance of the new book, a great deal began to happen. Dr. Harry Emerson Fosdick, the noted clergyman, reviewed it with approval. In the fall of 1939, Fulton Osler, then editor of Liberty, printed a piece in his magazine called Alcoholics and God. This brought a rush of 800 frantic inquiries into the little New York office, which meanwhile had been established. Each inquiry was painstakingly answered. Pamphlets and books were sent out. Businessmen traveling out of existing groups were referred to these prospective newcomers. New groups started up, and it was found to the astonishment of everyone that AA's message could be transmitted in the mail as well by word of mouth. By the end of 1939, it was estimated that 800 alcoholics were on their way to recovery. And, you know, so, you know, Dr. Bob and Bill W., right, like we saw in a paragraph before, they realized that they, you know, might have found a solution for alcoholism, something that was unheard of. And, you know, they started debating, like, what's the best way to spread the news, the good news, right? And, you know, they didn't have a lot of money. They thought of, you know, building hospitals for alcoholics and then taking them through the steps. And they thought of, you know, traveling around the world and carrying the message. But, you know, someone suggested, well, why don't we publish a book? Because the Oxford groups, they were very successful with their books. And that's what they did. And so this book started going around, you know, the country. And, you know, like we also seen before, the big book has specific instructions on how to recover from alcoholism. In our case, you know, how to recover from compulsive eating. And so, you know, it says here, AA's message could be transmitted in the mail as well by word of mouth. And, you know, about 800 alcoholics by the end of that year were, you know, on their way to recovery because people were getting this book following the exact directions contained in the book, and they were recovering. They were being made free of alcoholism. And so, you know, it's really proven that it works. I mean, back then, they didn't have all the technology we have today. Like today, you know, thank God, like we have the luxury of having sponsors, people that have been through this process before us, and they can share their own unique experience with us and guide us quicker through the steps in this book. But, you know, this is a set of instructions. Anyone can follow them. You know, like the book says, if we're honest enough, we can, you know, work the steps and recover. And that's what was happening back then. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Hi, it's Naomi B. Could I share?
Okay, yes. Just wait one moment, Naomi.
Thank you,
okay,
thank you for the service. Uh-huh.
We have Naomi. Anybody else like to share on this paragraph?
Sue B. from Maryland.
Amy E.
Leah M.
Kathy K.
Okay. Okay, I have Naomi, Sue B., Amy E., Leah M., and Kathy K. We'll go with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you for your service. This is Naomi B., grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Philadelphia. I beg your indulgence. I didn't get a chance to share on that previous paragraph. And what came to my mind was so prominent that I'd like to share. It was now time that the struggling group thought to place their message and unique experience before the world. What resonated in my mind when I heard that sentence was, what was vision for you in June of 2012? And I don't glorify vision for you, but I know it's made a huge, huge difference. And the pioneers, you guys started with 50. We're up to near 1,600. When I first entered the room, it's been since February of 2011, it was kind of watered down. And my first sponsor nagged at me because she had heard about Vision for You, and I started to listen. And with listening to Vision for You and really hearing the message of the big book turned my life, my recovery, my world upside down. And now I don't take anything from my higher power. He's number one. This is number one. But to hear this clear-cut directions so explicitly said morning after morning with all these 1,600 people, this is what we have in our fellowship of my brothers and sisters all in recovery. This is huge. This has made a huge impact on my life that I can carry the word to others because of this fledgling group. Thank you for allowing me to share, and I appreciate your time and your patience. And I pass.
Thank you, Naomi. Sue B., you're up.
Good morning. This is Sue B. calling in from Maryland. Thank you for your service. Thank you for everybody on the line. What really struck me this morning was, it started back when Kim G. shared about the alarming numbers of OA meetings that had dropped. And then we have a vision for you that becomes available, and the numbers are growing and growing and growing. And why is that? Because the answers are in the big book. And then it struck me that the sentence that says, this is a simple but not easy, a simple program but not easy. If you read the steps, they seem simple. But when you practice, when I started practicing this and the work that it required me to do in writing, in reading, in listening, it was a lot of work, and I had to have the willingness to do that. And the first was step was to accept the fact that whatever I was doing wasn't working and that I had to be willing to turn my will and my life over to a higher power. And now that I've gone through the steps and have been lucky enough to receive that transformation and try to live it every day, it's time for me to share that, to plant seeds, as Charles said. And I've had sponsees that have started to work with me, and then I think, back away when they see that, I have certain requirements. And that number one is to study this big book paragraph by paragraph. I didn't recover until I started studying this big book and taking it seriously. And I'm just so amazed at the way the numbers in this meeting have grown. And I'm so looking forward to the convention and meeting everyone there. And I thank you all for your sharing that has helped give me my transformation. And I am volunteering now. I recently volunteered to chair an outreach program in my region intergroup. Because I think that this is so important to just keep carrying this message and, not being afraid or embarrassed. We're compulsive overeaters. We have a disease and we have a message to share. So thank you for letting me take a little time to help my recovery. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sue. Amy E., you're up. And Leah M.
Thank you for your service. This is Amy E., recovering in Northwest Ohio. What strikes me about this paragraph is the role of the media in transmitting our message and helping us. And the media were really great friends of AA really benefited from a lot of non-alcoholics, from Dr. Emerson Fosdick to Jack Alexander, who wrote the article in the Saturday Evening Post, from the John D. Rockefeller, who brought together benefactors for AA and then decided that it wasn't a great idea, that money would muck this thing up, much to Bill W.'s chagrin. And I wonder today what the message would be in the media. You know, are we getting our message out there? Are we suggesting articles be written about Overeaters Anonymous? How are we getting the message out that way? And if a person were to do an article about OA, would it be favorable? I mean, again, as somebody previously shared, our numbers are declining, and there's a lot of warring factions over different diets, quite frankly. And how is that any different than people fighting over whether the paleo diet is healthy for you or Atkins is healthy for you or South Beach works? We have to unify over this common message, the spiritual experience and living by spiritual principles that allows us to stay abstinent no matter what food plan we work. That is what unifies us, and that is what will be the strong, compelling message in either face-to-face or in a book or printed in a magazine article about Overeaters Anonymous. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Amy. And Leah M., you're up.
Thanks so much, Katie. To the astonishment of everyone, that AA's message could be transmitted in the mail as well as by word of mouth. You know, it is very exciting. There was an attraction going on, and that attraction was recovery. Because these alcoholics had sought help before, but they were always seeking help through superior beings, so to speak. You know, an irate boss, a nagging wife, an intimidating police officer or judge, a priest, minister, or rabbi, saying, you know, this is what you need to do. You know, you need to stop drinking. You know, that was not an attractive message. What was happening now is it was one alcoholic to another saying, this is what I did. This was about experience. This was about identification. This was about men and women carrying a message of depth and weight. This was about recovered alcoholics who were properly armed with facts about themselves. This was about speaking from one to another, and winning the entire confidence of another alcoholic. And our book says, you know, we have recovered and have been given the power to help others. So whether this was in 1939 when this book rolled off the press, or whether it was in face-to-face meetings and havens that were beginning to sprout up in communities and towns, or whether it was through the mail responding to people's inquiries, there was an attraction, there was an electricity, there was a message of hope and possibility going on. These people who had suffered, who never could find a way out of alcoholism, who were, threatened to be locked up, never to see the light again, you know, they were hearing and seeing and touching a message of hope. And that was the attraction, that you could have this tremendous suffering that was going to be an invitation to transformation. And this authentic spirituality was not going to be just about information. Information doesn't create transformation. This was about an experience that you and I still have an opportunity for, which is the implementation of these steps in proper sequence to have an experience called a spiritual awakening, a personality change sufficient to bring about recovery. And that was powerful in 1939, and it's powerful today, September 30th, 2015. And, of course, the Library of Congress announced that this book that we study every day was named on its list of the top 100 books that shaped America, books that have influenced the nation. And if this message was attractive then, it's still attractive today. Recovery is the attraction. People like myself who are recovered are merely God's agents, inviting everybody who's still suffering to have this same experience. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Leah. And Kathy K., you're up.
Thank you, Katie, for your service. It's Kathy K., recovered from Boston. And I've really appreciated everyone's shares this morning. And just want to add on the sentence, each inquiry was painstakingly answered. Pamphlets and books were sent out. I know my own experience every step of the way was greatly enhanced by one-to-one contact with other compulsive overeaters. And when I got to Vision for You, those one-to-one contacts really helped me to understand and appreciate the 12 steps and how they operated in people's lives. I think of our meeting, and I know for myself, I'm actively engaged in guiding and sponsoring other compulsive overeaters through the 12 steps. But I could easily get into kind of a comfortable rhythm about working with my sponsees and not really making outreach to newcomers who perhaps have not yet connected the way I know I needed to connect in order to really identify in. So for me, this sentence is a reminder that we, as we already do, we welcome newcomers, but that we also make concerted efforts to reach out to them. I know we get them to give us our phone numbers. I just reminding myself that even if I'm very involved with all my sponsees, I need to make room to reach out to newcomers as well to help them identify in. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kathy. And we have time for one more share. Is there someone who wants to share?
Ronnie P.
Okay, Ronnie P., you're up.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Ronnie P., recovered compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania. What this graph tells me is that these people were heavily into action. And, you know, we have a whole chapter called Into Action. And in my years of really active compulsive overeating, I was in my head so much of the time. I wasn't into action. Into action is where life, I don't want to say it's where life gets real, because life has always been real. But when we stay in our heads, we sort of stay in this fantasy. You know, I used to always think about one day I will do this, one day I will do that. And, you know, I think we can get into this mental state of postponement. You know, we postpone lots of stuff in life. I will postpone leaving this job. I will postpone apologizing to the people I've hurt. I'll wait for the right time, the perfect time. Basically the time where we can control all conditions so that we will be okay. And, you know, what this program does is it gets us out of our head. It gets us back into life, excuse me, back into action. And that's what this paragraph tells me, is that they were into action. They were really into action. They weren't going to fantasize about how great it would be if more people knew about this. They were not going to be in denial about the impact that this had had on their own lives. And then they felt this calling and this responsibility to share it with others. And so they had to get into action, and that's what we all have to do. You know, we get up in the morning and say, all right, where do I need to be into action today and out of my head? And what has made all the difference for me is that before I thought into action meant I was alone out there without a net and, you know, God help me. Instead now, I just go, I'm never alone. I in the midst of any moment where I'm anxious, upset, questioning, I can pause. I can just say, okay, God, this is yours. Let me do the right thing. Show me the next step. Give me the right word, the next best thought. And I'm then engaged in the world, and I'm not alone. It's that fear of being alone, of really screwing up, of being so terrified, so anxious. And there's no need for it. Because if God has our back, then all we are agents of what God wants us to do. And each of us, it's on us to also develop a totally personal relationship with God, so that the thing I call God is what someone else might call energy. It's what someone else might call Jesus. It's what someone else might call, you know, Yahweh. Whatever it is, excuse me, that bigger power is with us, in us, and guiding all of it. And so these guys got into action, and their lessons were to show us how to be into action and why we no longer have to fear being in action, because we're not alone. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, everyone who has shared this morning. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Terry H. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thanks, Katie. Good morning. My name is Terry H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maine. Our book is meant to be suggested only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you than to us. Ask Him in the morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.